all take your Bibles and turn with me at this time now to the book of Proverbs. We're in Proverbs 31. Our message series is called Famous Mothers in the Bible. Each year around this time, we work our way forward through the scriptures, looking at different mothers. And today we come to really one of the most famous mothers of all. Today we come to the Proverbs 31 woman, whom we will call the Noble Mother. Now, Proverbs casts her more in the role of the noble wife, but she is also presented as a mother, so I think it's fair to call her a noble mother this morning as well. It's actually a poem, and this poem is what we call an acrostic poem. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 verses in this poem. Each verse in the poem begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet in the order that the letters appear. So for example, if this poem were in English, the first verse would begin with the letter A, second verse would begin with the letter B, third verse, letter C, and so on. And there are other acrostics in the Bible. Psalm 119 is another acrostic. The first four chapters of Lamentations, there are others as well. Acrostics were used as an aid for memory. It would help you to memorize things because you already have the alphabet memorized, right? But they also formed a sense of completeness. And so as we look at this poem this morning, in some ways you could say this poem describes the noble mother from A to Z, right? Every letter of the alphabet. This is a poem that was traditionally recited by husbands and their children during Friday night supper at the beginning of the Sabbath day. And so you began your Sabbath with a meal on Friday night, and you would recite Proverbs 31 in the presence of your mother. It's a poem that is helpful for both men and women. It's helpful for all women seeking to be a godly woman. It is helpful for men who are maybe seeking a godly wife. And it's a great passage for all of us to study together on Mother's Day. So in Proverbs 31, I'm going to begin just by reading verses 10 through 12. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. This is the word of God. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, as we look at these verses and the verses following, I pray, God, that you would speak to us through this beautiful picture of the noble woman, the noble wife, the noble mother. And Lord, teach us what we need to learn through this passage today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. You know, a lot of women have a love-hate relationship with the Proverbs 31 woman, right? It is a beautiful picture, but they also look at it and say, it's an impossible goal. And they say, nobody can do all that, right? And what about the men? How come the men don't get a special section of scripture that they have to fulfill? Well, actually, guess what? Men, we do, right? Women, you've got the Proverbs 31 woman. Guys, you know what we've got? The Ephesians 5 man. In Ephesians 5, it says, husbands, love your wives as Jesus loved the church and gave himself up for her. So we're called to sacrifice for our families as Jesus sacrificed for the church. Of course, we're all called to be like Jesus, right? Men and women alike. And we all fall short. But you know, it's good to know the target. Yeah, Henry David Thoreau once wrote, in the long run, you hit only what you aim at. So even if you fail immediately, you'd better aim high. And that's what we have here in Proverbs 31. Another reason women sometimes struggle with the Proverbs 31 woman is culture, the cultural barriers, right? The Proverbs 31 woman sewed all her own clothing. Does that mean that you need to sew all of your own clothing? No, of course not. It's cultural. And so what we need to do is we need to understand the noble mother from Proverbs 31. First, we get to know her in her own cultural setting, but then we need to transfer those principles into our own culture. So that's a big part of what we're going to be doing today. We'll be looking at the overall principles we can learn from the Proverbs 31 woman for our own lives today. The poem introduces the main idea in verse 10, a wife of noble character, who can find? And that implies that this woman is a very rare creature indeed. And just as it is very hard to find a man who exemplifies all the character traits of Jesus, it's hard to find a woman who exemplifies all of these following traits. Once again, it's an ideal. It's something to aim at. It's not the reality most of us live. But it's a good list to measure ourselves against, to see where we're doing well, where we might need to improve. There's an outline in your worship guide. I would encourage you to take that out at this time. It'll give you the different points we're going to look at. We're going to look at five characteristics of this ideal mother or wife, the noble woman. This poem speaks of her value, her work, her sacrifice, her character, and then finally her defining trait. She is a woman who fears the Lord. All five are on your outline, and we'll take a look at all five in turn. So let's get started. First of all, the poem speaks of her value. Her value. Let's go back to those opening verses 10 through 12. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her. He lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And here we learn three things about the noble woman's value. She is worth more than rubies. She is trusted and faithful. She brings good, not harm. Let's look at those. First, she's worth more than rubies. Folks, that is very high praise. There are only two things in the Bible, two things that the Bible describes as more valuable than rubies. The first is wisdom, very high in the values in God's list, wisdom, and then the noble woman here in Proverbs 31. Proverbs 3, we read this, blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she, speaking of wisdom, is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She, speaking of wisdom, is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. And so the noble woman stands in very rare company here, worth more than rubies. Secondly, she is trusted and faithful. The writer here says that her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. And the word translated confidence here, it's a word that speaks of trust and security. And so this verse speaks of the faithfulness of this woman and the confidence that her husband places in her. And you know, value leads to value. And because of this valuable trait in his wife, the husband lacks nothing of true value in his own life. There are few things more valuable in a relationship than trust and faithfulness. Thirdly, she brings her husband good, not harm, all the days of her life. This is her consistent mode of being. Day in and day out, she brings blessing to her husband. And of course, once again, none of us are perfect, but we want to maximize the good, right, and minimize the harm. So that's the first thing we learn about the noble mother. She's not only rare, she is valuable. She is worth more than rubies. She is trusted and faithful. She brings good, not harm, all the days of her life. Next, the poem addresses her work. Her work. We find this in verses 13 through 18. Once again, there's some cultural things in here, and we'll work our way through that. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. Three things we learn about the noble woman's work. She is a willing and hard worker. She is disciplined and discerning. She is strong and productive. First, she's willing and a hard worker. It says she selects wool and flax, and she works with eager hands. That word translated select, it's a word that has to do with seeking, intentionality, persistence. The wool and the flax here represent the materials for both winter and summer clothing. So she is a worker for all seasons. She works with eager hands. That means she takes pride and delight in her work. She does not resent the tasks set before her, but she finds pleasure in what she does. Like merchant ships from afar, her work is wide-ranging. She is willing to go the distance to provide for her home and her family. Secondly, concerning her work, she is disciplined and discerning. She rises early to provide food for the family. I know a lot of you didn't like it when I read that verse, did you, right? Gets up when it's still dark. She rises early to provide food for the family and portions for the servant girls. Now, the portions in this verse refers not so much to portions of food. Rather, it's a word that refers to assigning tasks to others. The portions for the servant girls. This is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do today. I like that. Women, you'll like that too, because you know what that means? The noble woman doesn't try to do it all by herself, but she wisely apportions the work in her home. Now, let's face it, culturally, most of us mothers here today, we probably don't have servant girls, okay? But we have children. We got husbands, right? And we can assign people tasks as part of a functioning household. We assign portions. The noble woman is discerning when it comes to family finances. She makes wise financial decisions. The poem says she considers a field. She doesn't go right out and buy it. Doesn't go buy the first thing she sees. She considers a field. This reflects purposeful thought, careful planning. In this case, it's a good deal. She not only buys the field, but she also plants a vineyard. What does this do? This adds value to the field. The noble woman not only considers before she buys, she then seeks to get the most out of each purchase. Why? Because she is disciplined and discerning. And then thirdly, she is strong and productive. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. And this speaks primarily here of physical strength and energy, but it would also include emotional strength and stability. Her trading is profitable. How would we say that today? She's productive. She's productive in everything she does. When the poem says her lamp does not go out at night, that doesn't mean she stays up late working, okay? We already got her getting up before dark, right? She's not working after dark too, okay? All this means is it speaks of foresight and wise planning. She ensures that there is sufficient oil to keep the lamps burning into the night. And it's at this point that a lot of the women just give up, right? I'm so tired of hearing about the Proverbs 31 woman. I get so exhausted just reading about her. Nobody can do all these things. Exactly. Okay, that's the point. Remember, this is the ideal. And there are two mistakes we can make with ideals, right? Mistake number one, we can dismiss them as impossible and not even try. Don't make that mistake. Or mistake number two, we try, we fail, we get discouraged. Don't make that mistake. What you need to do instead is this. You hold the ideal high. You understand that you're going to fall short. You continue to do your best, and you ask God to help you grow in each of these areas. By the way, that goes for both the Proverbs 31 woman and guys, for the Ephesians 5 man. Remember, men are called to sacrifice like Jesus. That's a pretty hard ideal to live up to as well. Speaking of sacrifice, that's our next trait, our next characteristic. We've looked at value work. Now we come to her sacrifice, verses 19 to 24. Once again, some cultural things here. We'll unpack them for you. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. Here we learn three things about the noble woman's sacrifice. She cares for the poor. She provides for her family. She helps and supports her husband. Look at each of those now. First, she cares for the poor. In other words, she not only cares about her home, but she cares for those outside the home. And she cares for the things God cares about. She cares for those who are in need. And this takes sacrifice. You know, the image here of her hands and fingers actively sewing shows the personal labor she engages in for the benefit of others. You know, sometimes we can get so consumed with running our own home that we forget God wants us to look outward as well. God calls us to serve and to sacrifice. It's not all about our own home and our own kids. We need to care for others as well. She cares for the poor. Secondly, she provides for her family. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. Now, it doesn't snow very often in Israel. But you know what? She's ready for it. She's ready for the worst. She thinks ahead. She prepares for every scenario. Scarlet here probably doesn't refer to the color of the clothing. It refers to double-layered clothing. That makes more sense because we're talking about winter, cold, and snow. Notice that she also takes care of herself. Please hear this, ladies, because in the midst of this, all this service and sacrifice, you could miss this. She also takes care of herself both functionally, she makes coverings for the bed, and aesthetically. She dresses well. She takes care of her appearance. So ladies, hear this good news this morning, okay? Part of providing for your family means tending to your own needs as well. Because guess what? You're part of the family. Can I get an amen on that one? Okay, yes. Take care of yourself. She provides for her family. Thirdly, she helps and supports her husband. It says her husband is respected at the city gate. She also helps with the financial support of the family. You've probably heard the old phrase, behind every successful man, there is a woman. And I don't know that I consider myself a successful man, at least in the eyes of the world, but I'll tell you this. Whatever I've achieved in life, I could never have done without the love and support of my wife, Rosie. Amen? Thank you, love. You know, we read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." God created the woman as a helper to the man. This means they are suited for each other. She is his life partner, and they are better together. And moms, one of the best things you can do for your children, hear me out on this one. One of the best things you can do for your children is maintain a strong relationship with your husband. The marital bond comes first because it is the marital bond that nurtures and sustains the family bond with your children. And so that's her sacrifice. Looked at value, work, sacrifice. Now we come to character. Her character comes next. And we see this now in verses 25 through 29. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Three things about her character in these verses. She is an honorable woman of strong character. She is known for her wisdom and kindness. And this is, thirdly, this is not just an outward show, okay, for those in the community around her. She also has a good reputation at home. Let's unpack all three of these. She is an honorable woman of strong character. Proverbs says she is clothed with strength and dignity. In other words, strength and honor, this is closely tied to her identity. This is who she is. This is her character. We've already seen her physical strength as applied to hard work. Now we see her strength of character as well. Physical strength and energy, that's great, but what really matters is a person's character. She can laugh at the days to come. She's not afraid of the future or aging. She faces the future with confidence. This confidence ultimately comes from her trust in God, but this is all part of her strength of character. Strength and honor. Secondly, she is known for her wisdom and kindness. says she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. That phrase, faithful instruction, comes from a very special word in the Hebrew. It's the word chesed. And chesed is a very beautiful word that is used in the scriptures for God's covenant love and faithfulness. You know, it's often translated in your Bible as God's loving kindness. God's loving kindness. And the noble woman is known for her chesed, her loving kindness toward others, her faithful, kind instruction. Her instruction is never harsh, but she is faithful, she is loving, she is kind. The Message paraphrases this verse this way: when she speaks, she has something worthwhile to say, and she always says it kindly. And if I can brag on my wife one more time, I won't keep going on. I don't want to embarrass you too much, but she says it's okay. But Rosie did a wonderful job raising our boys and passing on so much spiritual insight and wisdom to them. And even as adult children now, my boys continue to seek her out for wisdom on various things. Whenever I need wisdom or insight for issues in my life, she's the first one I turn to. The noble woman is full of chesed, faithful instruction, wisdom, loving kindness. And then finally, the noble woman has a good reputation at home. This is part of her character. She watches over the affairs of the household. She has that reputation for hard work. Her children bless her, and her husband praises her. Once again, it's one thing to have a good reputation at work or at church or in the community, but it's your reputation at home that really matters. Those at home know you best, and that's where reality lives. Notice the reappearance of the word noble here in verse 29, right? Her husband praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. This is the same word we saw at the beginning of the poem in verse 10. And so it creates a bookend here, right, with the first verse of the poem, showing that this man has found his noble woman after all. A noble woman, who can find? He's found her. In fact, not only has he found her, but she surpasses all the others. Every husband should feel this way about his wife. And husbands, we should communicate it to her regularly. Husbands, how often do you praise and affirm your wives? Hopefully all year round. And not just with a card on Mother's Day. But don't forget that card on Mother's Day either, okay? There's still some left, okay? I was over there. I saw them. You can still do it. And so this section on character, this really closes out the main descriptions of the noble woman. But interesting, the acrostic continues into our final verses, the final two verses. And so these final two verses not only continue, but they complete her description. The writer has one more thing to say before closing out his poem, and as you might expect, it's the most important thing. He has spoken of her value, her work, her sacrifice, and her character. Now, finally, he speaks of her defining trait. Look at verses 30 and 31 now. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Some women are known for their beauty. Others are known for their charm. But the defining trait for the noble mother is that she is a woman who fears the Lord. And that's a good thing, because beauty is fleeting, doesn't last. Charm is deceptive. Woman's charm may seem attractive at first, but that's not what provides the stability and security. That comes from a woman who loves, honors, and respects God first in her life, because that's what it means to fear the Lord. She loves, honors, and respects God first in her life. It's not the outward things. The Bible says in 1 Peter, speaking to women and to wives, your beauty should not come from the outward adornment. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Once again, this doesn't mean that the woman should not take care of her appearance. We saw that earlier in the poem, right? Verse 22. Of course you do. Just know that's not where your main beauty comes from. True beauty comes from your love for God, which displays itself in godly character and in loving sacrifice for others. And guess what? God has rewards. He has rewards for the godly woman, mother, and wife. Part of that reward comes from the praise of her family. But God says it will not be confined to her family. And so here at the end, the poem moves from praise at home to praise at the city gate. The noble woman receives public acclaim. Her godly character now serves as a testimony to the wider community. It's beautiful. And then we've got one more bookend here. Remember, we saw the earlier bookend with the words noble? We have one more bookend here with this phrase, the fear of the Lord. Because you see, the book of Proverbs begins with the fear of the Lord in chapter 1. Now we see that the book of Proverbs ends with the fear of the Lord here in chapter 31. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 31:30, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And the fear of the Lord, that's the major theme throughout the book of Proverbs. And with the phrase appearing at the beginning and at the end, this interlocks this whole poem with the whole book of Proverbs. So let's go back to the beginning of the poem now. Back to the beginning of our message today. Do you remember where we started? A noble woman is hard to find. And now that we've gone through the list and seen what it's all about, I think we'll all agree that's a hard list to live up to. You know, for some it's hard because they don't agree with the list. They don't agree with God's word. They don't live up to the ideal because they don't want to. They've set a different ideal for themselves. I hope that's nobody here today, but that's the reason some people, they just dismiss the list to begin with. I don't want anything to do with that. For others, it's hard because it seems impossible to fulfill. It's not that they disagree with these things. It's just that they see it so far beyond themselves that they don't even try. And then for others, it's hard because they're trying to do these things in their own strength. They agree with the list. They try their best. But they find themselves constantly falling short. At least they're trying, right? But we need to remember, we can never do these things in our own strength. So now that we've looked at all of these things, the principles, the cultural applications, how do we apply this poem in our own lives? We need to understand it this way. This is God's ideal that he has set out for us in his word. And even though we may not live up to the ideal, we should still seek to emulate this woman in our lives. However, we need to look to God to give us the strength, because if you try to do this in your own strength, you will surely fail. A woman who fears the Lord will look to God's ideal for her, and she will ask God to help her grow more and more into that ideal with the strength that God alone gives. So some final applications this morning. If you're a woman this morning, I encourage you to seek to emulate the Proverbs 31 woman in your life. If you're a man, I encourage you to seek to emulate the Ephesians 5 man, Jesus, in your life. If you are single this morning, man or woman, I encourage you to seek to be a godly man or woman in the place where God has you right now. If you are looking for marriage this morning, man or woman, I encourage you to seek a godly husband or wife. But remember, we all fall short. So you're looking for a godly person, not a perfect person. Or trust me, you're going to be looking for a long time. There was only one perfect person who ever walked this planet. He is the one who loves you. He is the one who died for all your sins. He is the one who rose again from the dead. He is alive to help you today as you seek to be a godly woman or man for him. And his name is Jesus. And he is there for you today. Look to him. and he will help you with these things. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for this beautiful poem. Lord, I pray that we've grown to understand this poem a little bit better, that we've been able to learn the principles that we're to apply in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you'll help each of us, men and women today, help us to grow in godliness for your glory, for the good of others, for the good of our families. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.